I think the community, the silver apes and the gold bugs, whatever you want to call us, I think we're starting to hone in all together and seeing the same thing. Like this, whatever this is, whatever is going on, and none of us see the whole picture. Whatever's going on, I think there's just months left. There's no more than that.
Haru! The tentacle's coming towards Earth, and there's no stopping it. King Kong's too old to save us this time.
Hey guys, Raf here from the Endgame Investor, and today I've got Eric Jung on the line, the star on Twitter known as with the handle King Kong 9888. He's in Hong Kong, hence King Kong. I only just got that recently because I didn't know he was in Hong Kong. Maybe asking how this interview came to be. Well, one of his followers and co-follower between me and him, he basically tagged me in a thread and said, "You two should talk." And I was like, "Yeah, okay, I can talk." And Eric was like, "Yeah, I could talk too." So we started talking. And that's how it happened. Sometimes it really is that easy. And when things are that easy, it's the right thing. So we're gonna get talking here. Eric, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Ralphie. Thank you for having me on the show.
Great. I'm really honored to have you. I follow you, and I really value your comments and your insights. They focus on things that I don't really focus on that much. So I'm really excited to finally get to talk to you and ask you these questions. So there were two specific tweets that got a lot of attention and were sent to me about silver, what's going on with silver, and there was one about PSLV. So I'm going to read the first tweet, or actually your message to me about gold and silver price control. So I have a slightly different view to yours. I think we could probably reconcile them, but let me read your tweet here, and then I'll tell you what I think about it. And then with both those pieces of information, I'll just let you go. Those daily COMEX New York open gold and silver slams. This is how the banksters do it. First, they open a crap load of paper gold and silver short positions at the COMEX. Then, two, they buy a crap load of corresponding LBMA unallocated promissory notes. This is the exchange for physical basis trade. Three, potentially get their proxy bankster buddies to sell a crap load of LBMA unallocated promissory notes so that the LBMA gold and silver prices don't shoot up too much. This way, they get slam gold and silver. They can slam gold and silver prices and skim off the top at the same time. If gold and silver prices rise, who cares? The banksters still make money as long as their EFP spreads are positive. Also, the banksters would cover most of their COMEX shorts via EFP, exchange for physical, so that it is not short covered directly on the COMEX. This way, their short covering has minimal upward pressure on the COMEX gold and silver prices. I didn't quite follow all of that. But maybe you can explain it a little simpler to me. But I just wanted to comment that I do believe that there is some manipulation on the edges in the gold and silver markets. But my question about those who really focus on it and say this is a serious problem, we have to end this and this can't go on, is that if it was really disrupting the gold and silver prices, like in a serious way, then wouldn't we see gold and silver shortages? Like you go into a jewelry shop, there's not enough gold, or a dentist, if you want to buy a certain amount of gold for your fillings, or someone who manufactures fillings, you wouldn't be able to buy it because there'd be a shortage. We see that when price is really controlled for any good or service, there's either a shortage, if there's a shortage if the price is too low. We're not seeing gold and silver shortages. If you want to buy coins, you can buy coins. If you want to buy bullion, you can still buy bullion. So, first of all, what's your objection to that? Why do you think this is so serious? And can you just explain these steps a little bit simpler to me? Because I'm not exactly f I follow back to the middle and then I get kind of lost.
Okay, first of all, I look at it this way, right? The LBMA COMEX ETF system, that's what I call it because it's a system. It's all tied in together with EFPs, exchange for physical. Don't let the name deceive you because most EFPs in the past were settled by cash. Cash settled, nothing physical. But when need to be, As you probably know already, Rafi, it can be physical. So what I mean by that is you have the LBMA, you have the COMEX, you have the ETFs, right? You have GLD and SLV. And as you probably know, the vols for these entities somewhat overlap, especially with the ETFs and the LBMA and the ETFs and the COMEX. It's essentially the same vol because the LBMA and the COMEX, they don't have central vaulting. It doesn't work like that. They simply certify the bank's vaults, for example. And that's a COMEX vault right there. That's an LBMA vault. So, for example, GLD and SLV, they share JP Morgan vaults in London and in New York. Okay, so that makes sense. So now you get the entire picture, right? Like, this is like a three different, locations where gold and silver, physical gold and silver, exchange, or like commerce, I guess, right? But they're tied together by this railway kind of thing, which is the EFPs. Okay, so what do I mean by that? You ask me a question. You ask me that, if there's a shortage or physical metals, why is it that people are still able to get metals? The answer is there wasn't a shortage of metals. But what these guys were doing is that they have metals at the LBMA, at the COMEX, and at the ETFs, like GLD and SLV, and that metal would physical metal would shift around these three places via EFP. Exchange for physical. Okay.
Okay.
And then normally, as you probably know already, Ralphie, in the past, I'm not talking about, the last 3 months. I'm talking about normally in the past. Most of the settlements at the LBMA and COMEX were by cash. They were cash settled. So they basically created a perfect system to control the prices of gold and silver. Now, some people ask me, they say, well, if it's so controlled, how come the price of gold went up so much in the last 5 years? Right? Went from around 1,000 to now it's 3,000. That's 3x. Why? Because you have China and India standing for physical delivery at both the LBMA and the COMEX. So what happened is, unless they wanted to have their physical drained eventually, they had to let the price go up. So that was the, east-west physical metal drainage situation. Okay? So
Okay.
that's why gold, the gold price went up over time, because China, India, they were continuously standing for physical delivery over time. But back to your question about the manipulation. It's very simple, Ralphie. Now I explain the entire system, roughly how it works. It's all tied by EFP. The banksters, what did they do to further suppress the prices of gold and silver on top of the paper dilution? What they do is they buy a bunch of shorts. They have concentrated short positions at the COMEX. That's what everybody talks about. Ted Butler, Jim Sinclair, everybody talks about that. That's nothing new to you, right, Ralphie?
Right.
Everybody talks about these concentrated short positions, right? That they sit on, that the commercials sit on,
Yeah.
at the which the commercials are basically the bullion banks and the institutions, right? They
Yeah,
sit
which
on
I
that
would,
at the COMEX.
those are the swap dealers, right? I call
The
them
swap
swap.
dealers.
Yeah,
Yeah,
okay.
sure. Okay, so the swap guys, they sit on that. I call them, essentially, most of them are bullion banks, right? So they sit on that at the COMEX. But what do they do at the same time? They long at the LBMA. So they buy a long position at the LBMA
Well,
for every
they'd have
short
to
that they
be.
buy.
Yeah, they'd
Well,
have to be.
they are hedging, right? They call it legitimate hedging. Okay, that's what they call
Well, on an accounting basis, it is legitimate,
Sure.
but the question is, the long positions that they supposedly have to hedge, are they real or not? That's the question.
No, they're real. They're real.
Okay.
They're real in terms of paper, right? But the problem is this. This is the differentiation between what I tell people and what the banksters tell people. Because the banksters consider that paper promissory note at the LBMA, they consider that physical. It's not physical. If it's physical, the LBMA wouldn't be doing T plus 60 right now and T plus 90 for deliveries for
Oh,
gold.
you mean waiting? You mean a 60-day
Yeah,
or 90-day
sure.
waiting
They
period?
might, you might not even get it, right? I mean, you have to understand how the LBMA operates. The LBMA is OTC. It's all the transaction is the private between buyers and sellers. And guess what, Ralphie? It's not an exchange like the COMEX. That has a CFTC briefing on his neck, right? At the LBMA, the buyer can choose the seller. The seller can choose the buyer. You see that problem? They can choose buyer and sellers, and they can choose whether or not to settle that contract by physical or paper. Isn't that insane? You can't do that at the COMEX, supposedly. You know, under the exchange rules, right? But you can do that at the LBMA
Why do you why
because
is that
it's
why is that
OTC.
insane? Why isn't it legitimate to pick your buyer or seller?
Because you're paying the take if you do that, potentially. I'm not saying that they are. I'm not saying that they are, okay? Don't want to, you know, get phone calls from people, but like, can you see that that is a lot more likely to happen if they allow to do that? Right?
I can
You're
see
allowed to pick
that.
your buyer and seller, and you can decide if that contract settle physical or paper. That's a lot of control. On the buy and seller side, right? You can do whatever the hell you want, essentially. It's like a wild, wild west at the LBMA compared to the COMEX,
You
right?
can do that. You can do that with gold and
Sure.
silver, but thing is, you what enables someone to do that, there's something about gold and silver that makes it able to be manipulated in this way. Whereas, for
Yes.
example, you can't do that with oil or copper or wheat or something like that because those are consumed.
They don't have a two-tier system either, right? Think about it. With gold and silver, you have a two-tier system. You have an exchange in the US, which is the COMEX, and you have a OTC market in London. So essentially what they did was they offshored all the manipulation, most of it, because I know you guys document the manipulation on the COMEX side, but that's really minor compared to the manipulation that is systematic, okay? LBMA and COMEX combined, on top of that, they're doing a lot of, you know, they're just flooding the LBMA with paper. Most of the LBMA transactions are paper, unallocated, okay? Paper transactions, meaning never any physical changing hands, physical gold or silver. So that's how they do it. They suppress COMEX by the concentrated shorts. They balance out that concentrate those concentrated shorts at the COMEX with the paper promissory note longs at the LBMA. And then, okay, so they have a bunch of longs, right? What they can do is they can just flood that LBMA with paper. Buy and sell, buy and sell, buy and sell. They can't do that at the COMEX. You know what? Guess what? They can also cancel contracts.
Yeah,
You
I
can't
saw we
cancel
saw that do
contracts.
that in 2022. They did that with what was it? Nickel.
Okay, they can do that in London, but they can't do that on the COMEX, okay? Or if they do it on the COMEX, it'll be worldwide news. But they can do it in London. I mean, it's like part of their own rules, right? Their own rules can be changed too, because they're a private organization. It's not like a government sanctioned, you know, well, it's government sanctioned, but the government doesn't govern it like the way that the CFTC governs the COMEX.
Well,
So I think,
it so
yeah,
it this only
that's
lasts
basically it.
this this only lasts as long as people tolerate it. Because once they say, well, we're not going to tolerate this anymore, then nobody cares what the LBMA says about gold. Price discovery goes away from there, and then it's irrelevant. And then people have to find a different exchange or a different market or just interact with each other. I mean, the reason that this doesn't work with oil, they can't control the price of oil in this way, is because oil isn't just a trading vehicle. People need to put it in their cars to drive, and they need to use it
Sure.
to fuel industry. You know, the fact that this is possible in gold and silver is because that nobody needs the physical stuff. But if we take this down a level, the way I understand it is like it's the same as a th same thing as a fractional reserve scheme in your bank, right? Your bank is fine as long as everybody stays within the banking system, and each bank, you know, you transfer an electronic payment of dollars from one bank to another bank, and that bank transfers it to another one, and they're all within the same system, right? And the minute somebody tries to say, or too many people say, you know, I want my physical dollars. I want to hold a wad of cash in my hand, and I want this stuff because I don't trust what the banks are doing. Then the entire system falls apart. But it's the same thing, just one level up between gold and the dollar instead of between, you know, deposits and physical paper dollars. But it's the same idea.
Well, like what you just said, Ralphie, it's happening right now. What's happening in the last couple of months is that people or entities, big entities, are actually standing for physical delivery at both the LBMA and the COMEX for both gold and silver. And it's breaking the LBMA.
Right. So
It's
this
breaking
is,
the LBMA.
yeah.
It's
So I mean,
happening right now.
another thing,
Yeah.
another way you could call this is instead of just a regular bank run where depositors go to their banks and they're in a line and they say, I want to withdraw my cash. Instead of that happening, it's big players coming to the central banks or whoever holds the gold supplies and saying, I want this, you know, I want my money out of that vault or out of that bank. Because what is a bank? A bank is a place where you vault money. That's what a bank is. And the question is, what is the money? Is the money the dollar? The derivative of the money is the dollar. So you have all these little derivative banks, but the real banks with the real money are the central banks. And once you force a run on them, you take down the entire system.
Okay, so you know what's crazy that's happening right now? In the last couple of months, the US imported over 2,000 metric tons of physical gold.
Yeah,
Like last three months.
why is this happening? Why should I've asked this to many people. I haven't
Yeah.
gotten like a good satisfying answer. But like I understand the mechanics of why it happens. I understand. Okay, gold is cheaper
Yes.
in London, more expensive in New York. Therefore, you buy the gold in London, you sell it in New York, and then you transfer the physical. I get that. And then you pocket the difference. But why should it be? Why is it that now gold is more expensive in New York than it is in London? Why is that happening?
It's actually reversed, Ralphie. What happened is that the banksters, right? The bullion banks, they were shorting like I said, they were shorting the COMEX and they were long the LBMA, right? So that works as long as the COMEX gold and silver prices are lower than the LBMA price
Right, but
for
now it's
their
reverse.
promissory
Now
note.
it's the
It's
opposite.
reversed. It's the opposite. So they're losing money, right? And what is crazy, I know this because I'm reading what a lot of the banksters write, and I talk to a lot of people feed me information too, right? But what's happening is that the buyers at the COMEX, they're refusing cash settlement because in the past all this can be settled by EFP cash settlement. But right now what's happening is a lot of these buyers are saying, no, we want the physical. Like exactly like you said, it's like a run on physical at the COMEX. And because of that, all these EFP pairs, like they're shorting the COMEX long the LBMA, that has to unwind by, physical delivery, right? That's why you see they're draining the LBMA. But the problem is that, let's say they run out of physical, like they're not out of physical yet because silver. They're shipping like a lot of silver from LBMA to the COMEX, like around 500 to maybe 1,000 metric tons per month. I think last month it was 1,000. It was 1,000. The US actually, through the COMEX, import around 2,000, almost 2,000 metric tons of physical silver per month in the last couple months from all over the world. And the LBMA is half of that, so around 1,000. So it's a lot, right? So it's not like they don't have any to ship out. They're shipping it out to the from the LBMA to the COMEX. So that's why you see the gold and silver price actually it's not shooting up as much. It's just going kind of flat right now
Okay,
because
so
they are able to get physical, you see, to deliver to unwind their contracts, right? But when you see like today, when it shoots up, what's happening? So maybe somebody can't get
I'm
the
sharing the
physical.
screen here. I'm sharing the screen here of the LBMA supplies of gold and silver since 2016, right? So what you're saying, I've been tracking this also. So the what seems dire here is the silver situation. Gold has been going down a little bit, and from the LBMA to what is this is in December
Okay, I
2024,
have to clarify this. They
right?
actually have zero free float of gold. Zero.
Zero.
Because if it's T plus 60, T plus 90, they have none. Okay? Like
Okay.
that number you see there is allocated, which means they
Okay.
can't touch it. Okay? It's the same with silver. I think they're showing like 22,000 metric tons. They don't have 22,000 metric tons. Okay? The
Okay.
Banksta guys are saying they have around 7,700. And your followers and my followers, they did the research. They subtracted all the ETF silver, and they found that they only have around 5,500 metric tons of free float right now
Oh, are we talking about gold
at
or
the
silver? What
LBMA.
are we talking
So
about?
silver,
Silver.
silver is 500, the 5,500 metric tons of
Right.
free
Okay.
float. Gold is zero, zero. Okay, because
Okay.
they can't, like you know, it's T plus 60, T plus 90. That means they have none. Okay,
So
to ship
then
right
where
away.
are they getting the gold from that they're delivering then?
Central bank backstop.
Okay.
Central banks are lending them that physical gold. Like, you know, unfortunate central banks like Argentina, Venezuela, any of
Really?
these small countries. Yeah, sure. I mean, they all, you know, loan money from the IMF or Western banks, and then they, you know, Argentina shipped their gold to the Bank of England.
They
Bank of
did.
England is a LBMA vault. So I'm just this
Okay.
is all speculation, but what's not speculation is that central banks are letting LBMA sellers borrow their gold. That's for real because Bloomberg reported it, Reuters reported it, the banksters themselves came out, and the guy said it today. I don't want to name any names, but it's real time. It's happening.
Okay, so
So gold, they have a
I'm looking
backstop, but
at
silver, they don't.
right. I'm looking at gold reserves in Argentina. I don't trust these numbers. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. That the gold. I'm on Trading Economics right now, and I'm looking at the Argentina gold reserves, and they're at 60 tons. They've been at 60 tons since 2012, and they haven't moved much. Is it are you saying that these 60 tons are being loaned out and rehypothecated or something? Or are you saying
Probably,
this is a complete
yes.
lie and this is worthless information?
Probably. First of
Okay.
all, do they only have 60 tons? You don't know that. I
I don't
don't know
know.
that because a lot of people, a lot of experts who are, you know, high pay grade than both me and you are saying that a lot of these central banks underreport. Not only China, but a lot of central banks underreport their physical gold holdings. So let's
Okay.
say they have more, they have 100. Number two is it at the Bank of England? Yeah. I mean, it's all over the news. They shipped it out. Number three is it rehypothecated? Who knows? Right? They're not going to tell you that, Ralphie.
Right.
That's like top secret information between the Central Bank of Argentina and the Bank of England.
Okay.
But then,
Yeah.
are they borrowing central bank gold? Yes. That I can say is not a, you know, speculation because we have Reuters reporting it. We have the Bloomberg reporting it. We have banksters saying it every other day. So that's real, right? So to
Right.
answer your question, they are borrowing central bank gold. That's the backstop. That's why they're able to ship that stuff out. They shipped out 70 tons of gold from the you can see it on your charts, on your sorry, on the LBMA homepage, right? If you take the previous month's number and last month's number, is 70 tons. So they shipped out 70 tons, probably to the COMEX.
Okay.
Now, is that all that the LBMA shipped out to the COMEX? Probably not. Why? Because, like I said, The LBMA is OTC. What that means is that the LBMA vaults only account for a portion of the stuff they ship out. They can ship out off-site. Like people remind me this all the time, right? They can ship out stuff out that doesn't go through, that don't go through the LBMA vault. And we will never know about that because that's not part of the LBMA vault numbers, you see, right? But back to silver, this is exciting. You were looking at that number. So your followers, my followers, they did the calculation, 5,200 metric tons. That's the free float right now. Think about that for a second. That's crazy. Because the US is importing around 2,000 metric tons per month and 1,000 from the LBMA alone.
Well then, I'm gonna keep
We're
talking. I'm gonna try to get up that
okay.
chart. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so if they're importing that much from the LBMA, that's only going to last 4 or 5 months, essentially. 4 or 5 months is not a long time. And then they'll be dry, right? Once they're dry, there's no central bank backstop for silver at the LBMA.
Right, they don't
They
have
cannot
any
borrow
silver.
silver. Yeah, nobody else have any silver. That's the problem. I mean, let's put it this way, right? You know, how much silver do you think the SHE and SGE combined have at any given time? Between 2,000 to 3,000 metric tons. Any given time. So if you like, if they only have 5,000, let's say around 5,000 right now at the LBMA, free float, and they're down to below 1,000 in 4 months, that's really dangerous because nobody else have any silver to give them.
Right. Okay, wait, hold on. I want to
Yeah,
share the screen
sure.
here and so you can see this chart that I'm looking at.
I'm seeing your beautiful face. I don't see a
Hold
chart.
on, hold on. I'm
You
going to
just have
share
your
this. I'm
beautiful
I am
you have your
beautiful.
picture.
Don't focus on the beauty too much. It'll turn you to stone. So
Okay.
you're an Adonis. You've got beautiful features, lovely skin. You're in the prime of your life here. You should be swinging.
So this is from Gold Charts R Us here, and these are monthly bars. So you see here, this is
Yes.
this where the magnifying glass is hovering over. This is January 2025. Sorry, so this is December 2024, January 2025, February, and this is March. So this is the total supply. So we have in January, sorry, in December 2024, we have about 320 million ounces, and then about 370 million, and then 410 million. So it's about like 40 million ounces a month. Do those numbers work out?
Yeah, I think I was talking to someone. I mean, people who track the COMEX vault numbers. I think you guys have around 13, because I do it by metric tons. Why? Because London does it by tons. Shanghai, China does it by metric tons. So, like, when I do everything by metric tons, it just kind of put things into context. Okay. So, the US, the last time I checked, have 13,000 metric
Oh,
tons.
here's a chart with metric tons. Here we go. So here it says 2025, around the turn of the year, right here we're at about 9,500 metric tons.
Yeah,
And
now it's
now,
13,000. Now it's
okay,
13,000 because
four
that's the
four
last time
yeah
I checked.
14,312 I have here. So
Oh, even
nine
higher. There you
ninety
go.
five hundred to thir so let's just say 14,500 now. So that's about 5,000 metric tons. Yeah, the numbers work out. Yeah, that's about right.
See? So, like, my numbers are actually right. So that's a lot of silver that the US is sitting on. So I guess at this stage of the game, Ralphie, you got to ask yourself this question. In the past, when the registered and the eligible vaults at the COMEX have that much silver, that chart usually reverses eventually. Because like they will just let like the registered you know that like for example, when people get a warrant, they put the silver or gold into the registered vault. Doesn't mean that they withdraw it. Withdraw is a different thing
Yeah,
that
I know.
from
I've
delivery.
been through it.
Yeah, exactly, right?
I ordered
So,
I got I stood for delivery on a silver contract. I
yeah.
got the contract. I was not able to load out. I know
You got a
there's
warrant. You
Yeah,
got a warrant,
I got the
right?
warrant. I couldn't load it out.
But guess what? Listen to what I'm going to tell you next. It's going to blow your mind, okay? What the chant is telling you, the chant you just gave me from Nick, from Gold Rush or whatever, what it's telling us is that this time, the people who are holding the warrants, they are not allowing that physical silver, once imported into the US, to recirculate within COMEX. Isn't that wild? Why is that? Why is that? That's not regular people. I mean, I like somebody else smarter than me, okay? Just recently looked at the managed money. I know you guys could do COT, analysis all the time, right? Even with all the managed money guys, because those are the most finicky buyers, right? The price drops, they get rinsed every single time, forever, since the beginning of time. Even if you account for all their positions, it doesn't account for the enormous physical silver that is in the COMEX vaults right now. Okay, like they know, I'm not talking about, because of course paper is more than physical, right? I'm talking about the normal, their normal physical allocation percentage. Okay, if you take that into account, right? Like, I mean, it's just somehow somebody is sitting on a crap load of silver at the COMEX, and they're not letting the silver recirculate at the COMEX. You know this game because you were part of it, you played it. Somebody's holding on to that warrant and say, F you, I'm holding on to it. I'm not recirculating it. Why is that? Why is that?
Well, I mean,
That's
it was
the question.
because I mean the technical answer is that I was using a brokerage that didn't allow loading out. Theoretically, if I had, over $1 million in capital, which I don't have, then I could have applied for a brokerage that would have allowed me to load out. And I have heard of people do it. I don't think it's absolutely impossible. I just think it's very difficult for someone of my means, which is less than $1 million, to actually pull it off.
Yeah, but these are bullion banks. I mean, I look at the issues and stops report, which is basically just the COMEX delivery reports, okay? And all it tells you are the clearing firms that handle the selling and the buying. And the clearing firms are essentially just, they're just bullion banks. HSBC, JP Morgan, Bank of America, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You don't see the actual customers. That's confidential information. But you see the house and customer account destination on the clearing firm name. Okay. I mean, even let's say I'm naive enough to believe that all the customers are non-bullion banks. You see, as you probably know, Ralphie, I'm not, again, I'm just hypothetical situation. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. Okay, going to put that disclaimer out there. Let's just say, a bank wants to conceal its involvement in purchasing something. They can surely use a special purpose vehicle, SPV, right? That's what the Fed uses. They copied it from the commercial banks in the US. That's where they took the idea from. So what I'm trying to say is that let's take that out, the customer accounts, and just look at the house accounts. And even that is humongous. So why would the bullion banks be sitting on that much physical gold and silver and not be willing to put it back into circulation to make money like they always did in the past?
Why do you think?
I think for gold, I think they're importing that gold on behalf of the US government. It's that simple. I think for silver, because they inside, this is what I think, by the way. Okay. So it's not fact. It's my analysis based on all the facts that I've seen. For silver, I think like the Cantillon effect, they're the closest to the power source, to the Federal Reserve and the US Treasury. So they know what's going on. So they are thinking if gold is going up, silver is going to go up eventually. I'm talking about the US bullion banks, right? So they're probably buying silver for themselves, their clients, and the industrial players. That's what I think is happening with silver.
So I just want I wanted to
Sure.
interject with one thought here, And then I wanted to move on to PSLV. I know you have about 10, 15 minutes left, and I wanted your thoughts
Yes.
on this. So first of
Perfect.
all, we should all be aware that when the London Gold Pool fell, right, and that was a conglomerate of banks, just like we have a conglomerate of banks now, that were conspiring basically to keep the gold price stable at w right when Bretton Woods was starting to fall apart in the late 60s, and it ultimately completely fell apart in 1971, as we know. In 1968, when the London Gold Pool just basically gave up and broke apart, that was the on the I forgot what month it was, but it was 1968, and the gold to silver ratio hit 15-1 again. It hit 15-1 in 1919 after World War I. It hit 15-1 in 1980. Sorry, in 1968 and then in 1980. Those are the three times. So we do know historically that the last time a gold conglomerate or a gold cartel broke up, that was when silver hit 15-1. And I think it's going to happen again. And I think they know it's going to happen again. So if you're right, they could be stacking silver for this reason, which is why I stack silver, which is why when it hits 15-1, I'm going to sell or I'm going to buy whatever I can.
Yep. I think that's it, Ralph. He nailed it.
Right, so
He nailed it.
that's what I'm waiting for, and unlike a stock price or Nvidia or Tesla or whatever tech stock it is, which doesn't have a ceiling, there's no ultimate target for what these things can do. The gold to silver ratio does have a ceiling, and it's not an absolute ceiling. I'm not saying it's impossible to go even lower, but historically, 15-1 is as high as it ever goes. So I do have. A concrete objective measure for where this game ends, and it ends there.
Yep.
So you put out a really interesting tweet, and I really don't understand how PSLV works. I'm just going to read it, and there's so like two key questions I have that I don't understand. So you say here in this tweet, the banks just can't borrow PSLV shares to redeem for physical like SLV. That's how PSLV works. Two, you say the banks just shorted PSLV to prevent PSLV from buying new physical silver for its inventory. How does it work? PSLV only adds new physical silver when the net buying of its shares are positive. Shorting simply means borrowing PSLV shares from others to sell now. And then the more selling pressure now means that even if there are more buyers of PSLV shares now, the net buying is probably flat or negative. So my basic question is, I don't understand what net buying and net selling means, because buying's volume and selling volume always has to equal out. What does it mean, net buying and net selling? You can't have more selling than buying. You can't have more buying than selling. So what are we talking about?
Well, basically, okay, first of all, I just want to say PSLV right now is sitting on 178 million troy ounces of silver, which is around 5,500 metric tons. Okay, and it's custodian by the Royal Mint of Canada, okay? The RMC. And to answer your question, first of all, we got to understand what the net asset value of PSLV is. So net asset value of PSLV, it essentially tracks the spot price of silver minus the custodial cost, etc. Because there's a cost to run an ETF. And that's the NAV of PSLV. So my explanation for the on X is actually really simplified. It's not exactly how it works because it works like the PSLV the way it adds new silver into the ETF revolves around the NAV and the market price of PSLV. Okay, so what happens is, let's say the market price of PSLV is trading at a premium compared to the NAV of PSLV. The NAV is just whatever the silver price is divided by the number of shares, right? Like the total silver that they hold
All right, so I'm looking at a
divided
chart.
by number of
I'm
shares.
looking at a chart here of Sprott PSLV fund versus NAV premium. I don't quite understand what
Correct it,
this
correct. That's
means.
very good. So I'm explaining now, right? So basically the NAV, like I said, it's just spot price minus the custodial fees and then divide by number of shares. But like, just go online and find the exact equation, because I'm telling you this like on the fly, it's not going to be exact, but there's an exact equation you can find on Sprout. It'll allow you to calculate the NAV.
Okay.
But it's based on the spot price of silver. The market price of PSLV is just supply and demand, like you said. Get it? Like, so if you have a whole bunch of people shorting, which is selling, and not a lot of people buying, then it's going to the PSLV market price might be in a discount. Not only that it's not going to have a premium, it might be in a discount
Okay.
of the NAV, right?
We see
Now,
that it is at a discount now. It's at a discount of 1.63%. It's been that way since
wow,
2021.
crazy. So let me tell you this. When it is at a discount, Ralphie, by the rules of PSLV on its prospectus, it cannot create new shares and it cannot, therefore, it cannot buy new silver bars. Okay, because like the PSLV, the way it works is when it is trading on a premium, I'm talking about the market price versus the NAV, right?
So
Then
if
what
we're
it does is it
so
does,
yeah, so if we're looking at this chart over here, right? If we're above the zero line, then it has to add new bars. If we're below it,
exactly,
it doesn't.
exactly. So it's above, so it has to add new bars, right? What, how does it do that? It does this thing called the ATM, which is just all it means is at the market. That's all it means, okay? At the market, new share offering. So it just does like print out new shares. And then once it has those new shares, it'll go out and buy the equivalent NAV amount of physical silver bars. Simple. That's it. That's all it does. So when you're sitting on a lot of shorts on PSLV, it cannot, like by definition, buy new bars, right? So, like a lot of people say, why? Why wouldn't like the banksters just do what they do with SLV and GLD, right? Borrow shares of PSLV and redeem physical silver from PSLV. It cannot do that because on the prospectus of PSLV, it says that unless you're holding unencumbered shares, which means there are no claims,
Not
no
borrowed,
claims,
right?
non-borrowed. Well, by definition, unencumbered is unborrowed, not borrowed. So you cannot borrow. That's it. So if you are a bullion bank or an authorized participant, you have to own a crap load of PSLV because they do it in 10,000. The minimum withdrawal amount is 10,000 ounces, which is 10 LBMA 1,000 ounce bars, right? Same at the COMEX, 1,000 ounce bars.
Or two
So,
contracts worth, about two
or
contracts.
two contracts. Okay. So yeah, like guess what? Those APs are sitting on a whole bunch of PSLV shares. They own a lot of PSLV shares. Like somebody disclosed that. So basically, because they can't borrow shares to use PSLV as a physical silver piggy bank, they are just sitting on some shorts so that it's perpetually at a slight discount, 1%, like you said, is like you have the chart. Perfect. Looks awesome. I mean, not awesome in the sense that it's suppressing like PSLV, but awesome in the sense that we actually see it in the graph, right? It's perpetually 1% in discount, therefore it cannot add any new bars. Simple as that. Finish.
Wait,
That's
do you
the
know
answer.
if PSLV trades at a premium, do they have to get rid of bars?
No, if they trade at the premium, then they add new bars, Ralphie. You're talking about at a disc at a
Sorry,
deep
if they
discount. Do they
sorry
need to sell?
if they trade a
No,
discount. No.
no. If they trade at a deep discount, they do not sell any bars. It's on
Okay.
the prospectus. Yes.
Got it.
So the banks are just sitting on enough, not a lot, because like I mean, I think it's less than 10% of all total outstanding shares. Their short position, but it's just enough to push it below like that one like have that 1% discount, and that's enough to stop it from adding new bars. So some people, they're talking on X, they're saying, why not just all of us, we call our broker and tell them not to lend out our PSLV shares. Because by the way, I also own PSLV
So do
myself.
I do too.
So I call my broker and I say, hey, I don't want anybody borrowing my shares. So supposedly that will limit the short position on PSLV. But like we just discussed, it doesn't take a lot to put it in negative territory. So I don't know how effective that would be. So if somebody asks me now, like, what do they buy? I think at the end of at the end of the day, I'm sure you agree, Ralphie, it's probably physical silver.
Yeah. I mean,
I mean, that's probably number one.
I wouldn't worry too much about being the people that participate in the process that ends the entire system. I mean, look, Silver Squeeze One was very impressive and I participated in it. And I'm proud of it. But like this system is so gargantuan and unwieldy that it's going to fall by itself anyway. And from what I've heard from you if the silver keeps flowing from the LBMA to New York, then we're about 4 or 5, 6 months away, whatever it is, from erasing the rest of the float, which is about 5,500 tons. And we saw those charts. The numbers are seem to be correct.
Correct. Yes.
So I'm looking at it, while you're looking at the bullion wholesale stuff, I'm looking at the plumbing deep down in the recesses of the dollar monetary system, and I'm seeing that in 4 to in less than that, or maybe around 4 to 5 months also, the amount of repos that get traded between American banks every night is going to exceed the amount of bank reserves that are available. So that's going to these things could happen at the same time. They might be connected for all I know, in some kind of causal way that I don't quite understand. But I think the community, the silver apes and the gold bugs, whatever you want to call us, I think we're starting to hone in all together and seeing the same thing. Like whatever this is, whatever is going on, and none of us see the whole picture. Whatever is going on, I think there's just months left. There's no more than that.
I agree, Ralphie. I mean, like, I'm, the stuff you talk about, I looked at it a little bit, but it sounds like you know a lot more than me about the like actual banking system side. But this LBMA COMEX thing, like, that's what I basically lived and breathed in the last 4 months.
So
So I know
you
that
have
pretty
your
well.
focus, I have my focus, but we're looking at the same animal. That's clear.
So I think we like something has got to give at some point, and it's just abnormal. Like I said, these guys, they're sitting on these warrants. It's not recirculating from all the evidence that I'm seeing. It's not. It never really happened like this before. In the past, they always eventually reversed this flow.
All right.
It's not happening this time. So that's it.
Follow him on Twitter at King Kong 9888. It's very much worth a follow. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Ralphie. It was a pleasure. Thank you.